Stuck in a job you hate? Wish you could break into tech, but don't know where to start? CBG Nuggets makes IT training simple, affordable, and dare we say, fun. With short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs, you can build real-world skills right from your browser. No expensive hardware, no confusing software. Just practical training that gets you job ready. Learn at your own pace, on your own schedule, from anywhere. Start your 7-day free trial at cbtnuggets.com. Because a better career is just a few clicks away.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about The Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 5, entitled Feel Her Love. Mm. I'm Ryan, that's Adam. We're talking about The Last of Us, which I already previously said, but now you know it twice. Nothing? You got nothing there?
I got nothing. Let's just roll right into it, baby. I got no pre-music jabs.
Yeah, no free music jabs. Just get ready to hear this phrase over and over again this episode, which is in the gap.
In the game.
In the game.
Nah, I just as an overarching, like, descriptive, you know, tone of this, like, it was pretty good. This was very good. Yeah, it was great, like, comparison to the game as well. There was a couple things that were different, like, just, like, what, like, something, an action that happens to a different person.
Different from what, Adam?
The game.
Okay, nice. Sorry,
and, I just by the way, if anyone's listening that understands this, you just lost, so.
Shut up. Yeah, no, but I was so glad that this was good, because...
Yeah.
We'd been going off the rails a little bit.
Yeah,
Having episodes that have been so bad, they've been full on memes. And so for a show that has, I think we all sort of agreed, a pretty good first season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, did the same thing the game did, which is kill off their main character that people liked the most the second episode in, which, as it turns out, is a bad plan. And I'm just glad that we got one episode. And I'm not saying the last two were bad. They just weren't great.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the show.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And now we actually got an episode that was a bunch of stuff actually happened. Like, plot moved forward. And
of course.
And it was less focused on Bella Ramsey being a dad. So, although there was one moment in this episode where she... Oh my God, I'm gonna be a dad. And it was the worst part. Anyway, I was just glad it's good.
it was good. And there was a lot of one to ones, and which I was happy to see, because they did stray quite a bit there for on like how the story plays out. They strayed a little bit. You know, there's some things here and there that are different, but it won't really, what happened in the show won't like affect the overall story from the game.
Okay, but also it's airborne, bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which is how it is normally. And so I'm actually kind of glad that it didn't start off airborne.
Hindsight, I couldn't have. Like,
like, because they would all be wearing masks all the time. And
right, and people's faces are pretty important for television.
Yeah, of course. So, like, yeah, I was fine with that change.
So in this episode, we start off, we're in the Pacific Northwest still. We're in Seattle's Lake Hill Hospital, and Wolf's commanding officer, Hanoran, played by Alana Ubach, who we talked about last time, and I know mostly from Waiting, but she's having like a career renaissance right now, and she's in actually everything.
Yeah, she's also a crackhead in Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So
she calls people baby dick and then dies. So that's the best.
Her range is unbelievable. And she was also in Coco. She's an amazing singer.
Oh my God. Of course she is. Of course she is.
She
walks into a room, an interrogation of sorts, and she is questioning a new character, Sergeant Elise Park, who is discussing leading an operation in the hospital. And a thing happens in this first scene that I always find so funny, where Elise is just like, so we were in the hospital, and Hannah Rand's like, I know where you were. I gave you the directions to do what I said. And it's just obviously to tell the exposition to the audience that they were in the hospital. I just love those one-off lines. Is guys, just so you know, as like a baseline, the place we're talking about is a hospital. Anyway, so she's
shaking violently with a cigarette in her hand, just smoking.
Yeah, which, by the way, amazing.
Yeah.
If I could have every character.
This was every show. Lovely. Yeah, this was an add-in from the game that was not there. And I really, really love how they twisted the story just enough to like make it relevant for a show adaptation. So like it is different, but it works. It works very well.
Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
It honestly might ruin this episode. But every time you say the words of the game, can you ramp up over time in this episode, getting closer and closer to throwing up?
I could try.
I really appreciate that. Anyway, Elise is sad. And the reason she's sad is because they led an operation in the hospital into the basement. And it's not said until the end, but what basically happened was the team got down there. There were cordyceps all over the wall. They radioed back up saying, it's in the air. And then Leon, the best guy that Elise had, told her to close them in so the cordyceps didn't get out. And as she's telling this story, she's breaking down further and further because, as it turns out, Leon was her son.
Yeah, this was super sad. And it also shows the dynamic of someone making a decision to save the entire community versus save the one they love, which we know Joel did not do. Huh.
What an interesting parallel to Joel and Ellie.
You know? Wow, crazy. It's almost like it happens all the time.
I feel like we're just like, that's a very Regis and Kathy Lee moment. Like, that is interesting. What? An interesting parallel. That's different in a specifically 100% way. Anyway, this cold open was really great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Then we go back to Ellie and Dina, who now know that Nora, that's my bad, is in Lake Hill because names are important. Anyway, they're in their second day at Seattle. And Dina is figuring out through her map skills, she's a goddamn cartographer, how to get to the hospital around all of the patrols. And she realizes that there's one building in the middle of the patrols that they could just walk through because they don't even go near there. Although, to be fair, Ellie immediately points out maybe there's a reason for that. And then they throw that idea to the side and begin their journey to that building that even the people with the guns don't go near.
Yeah, you'd think that would be an indication of something bad, but
sure.
So this does happen in the game, and it's
okay. It's, even if it ruins the episode, it's better for me. I like it.
Okay, and so Dina does in fact like do this the same way, and it establishes like your objectives, and it's, you know, now it's going to be encounters that you have playing the game.
it's gonna drive
me nuts, Ryan.
Can I give you one note?
Yeah.
Okay. As you get closer and closer to throwing up while saying those two words, I'd like it to be a bit more subtle.
Oh, okay.
Have more nuance.
All right. So you play through, and there is a whole part that gets cut for the show, and it's a very extensive play that you play, and you will go through the town. It's really hard to avoid. I don't want to do it every fucking time. I'm trying.
Your brain is skipping so hard.
I'm trying not to make trying to make it too much, man, because we throwing up in 3 minutes.
You just actually throw up, yeah. Playing. Yeah, so, you just said the term playing.
Dude, it's, going, I know. Sorry. I'm trying so hard. I apologize to anyone who's listening, who's still here.
No one is.
But yeah, you play through Hillcrest, which is like a really stealthy mission. You hide from like dogs and you hide from people and you stealth kill and you work away, work around this little town called Hillcrest, and you can go into buildings and explore and see little things. It's really like to immerse yourself in it. And so they completely cut that whole scene out. So that was a big change. That was one of the biggest changes.
Did was they're walking to the bad building. They see a bunch of dead Seraphites under a picture of assumably their long lost prophet.
Yeah.
And Dina vomits again. This is the one part of the episode that I was discussing about how it was still very cringe because it was the one part Ellie was like, I don't even know why I brought you here. I'm going to be a dad. And Dina was like, I'd like to tell you a long backstory while we walk through these soldier-ridden streets about how I was too late because a man, a raider, brutally beat my mom and sister to death, and then I shot him when I was 8. And at the end, Ellie was like, whoa, that does sound hard.
That's difficult.
That sounds bad, yeah. But now we know more about you, Dina. And honestly, I think they've been doing a really good job up until this moment making the character of Dina well-rounded without blatant exposition. And this was, we honestly didn't need this, but whatever.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think we needed it, but you know, to each their own, writers, I suppose.
Right.
Oh, also a big difference here too is that Ellie's alone.
The difference from what?
She's alone and Dina is not with her. Dina stays at the theater and
because she's pregnant.
Well,
in the game, sorry, do I have to say it? It's sort of
no,
my own rule.
No.
Okay, got it. I'm thank you. Because as we know in the clip you showed me last week where she was just called a burden straight to her face.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think, is that why? Why?
Yeah, it's essentially the same thing. Like that's why they keep her there, and that's why she goes back, and Ellie kind of goes ahead alone. So to see Dina in some of these interactions, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes, like how it's a little bit different because things happen to Dina that actually happen to Ellie, but it doesn't change how the story plays out.
Yeah, right. When we get to the Seraphites in the woods, it now makes a lot more sense that they had to get rid of Dina somehow.
Yeah.
At least for screen time purposes.
For sure. Yeah.
So they get to the building, they walk in, everything's chill, and then they see a stalker from afar. We've been introduced to the stalkers before. As we recall, Ellie faced one of them earlier in the season, and the one that you see is from afar, so it immediately does feel like they're just being kind of baited in. And when they see one, Ellie was like, well, this is fine. There's two of us. I faced one. It was tough. I almost sort of got ripped apart. I'm immune, but I could still have my head torn off. And then, but there's only one, so it's going to be okay. And then there was two. Mm. And then there was three.
Sure.
And then there was 11.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. They're dead as fuck.
Yeah. This is, this was also, again, it didn't affect the story, but this was a change too in how the stalkers behave in the show.
Why?
Stalkers are cautious. They're almost like predators, but they're skittish. They don't want to get too close to you, until they're ready to attack. So, you play and it's like a cat and mouse game. And you try to find where they're hiding, and the way it's lit is they'll like run past the camera, and like you'll turn around, they'll be gone already. So it's a lot more tense. Like this was a little bit more imposing, and
it was like a trap.
Yeah, they wanted to like charge at you, and like you said, trap you. But in the game, you know, it's just a little bit different how they behave.
Ellie offers to sacrifice herself, and then Dina locks herself in a cage. And then they get Deus Ex Machina saved by Jesse, who apparently the day after they left, Jesse and Tommy followed them. So this happened in the titular game, correct?
Not in the same way, though. Like, Jesse Jesse comes out from like the shadows in the Hillcrest session, the section that you're playing in, before she walks into a wolf patrol. So Dina is not there at all.
As previously stated.
And Jesse, like Eliu's alone. So this stalker encounter didn't even happen. It was a little bit different, but yeah, nothing in like the warehouse the cage thing, that was all new.
Well, when you saw Jesse from afar, it had his outline looked like he could be Joel, which is complicated.
Yeah, of course.
But when he did show up, I was like, okay, because they needed something.
They did.
11 stalkers v 2 people, that shit's over. So
and the stalker was like breaking through the chain link fence to Dina, so like she was a goner.
Right. They were both dead as heck. So something had to do ex machina them. Yeah. But as I saw it was Jesse, and he was like, Tommy's around here somewhere too. I was like, all right. That's fine.
Yeah, so that's how they're bringing Tommy back into this part of the story. Like Tommy comes and helps try and find Ellie and Dina. But yeah, it's just different. Yeah, they were already looking for Tommy. Like that was the reason why they left initially. So a little different.
So then they run away.
We're getting to the same place. We're getting to the same place.
Right. They run away and then they enter the park as they're being tailed by a bunch of stormtroopers, apparently, who can't hit one shot. And as they get into the park, also all of those wolf stormtroopers are like, well, we can't go into the park because, well, you infer, but you don't know yet, that it's Seraphite territory. As they get in there, Ellie, Dina, and Jesse witness the Seraphites straight up hanging and disemboweling a wolf soldier, which was gnarly as fuck.
Yeah, this happens at the same time in the game.
It was neat.
It was neat and very well done. This whole wood sequence, although, again, Ellie is alone. but the whole sequence was very good. It was dark and hard to like navigate, and the Seraphite scars have all their torches, and it's like lit the same way. Like it looked great, and this was really nice. I liked it.
Yeah, it was gory and fun.
It was gory and fun.
Oh my god, it's entrails! What a hoot!
Crazy.
And then Dina gets an arrow to the knee.
Sure.
And Ellie creates a diversion while Jesse carries Dina to safety, ostensibly letting this now be, for the rest of the episode, a singular Ellie story.
Yep.
Who then runs towards the hospital to continue her journey alone.
Yeah. And so this was also a little bit different. Ellie is actually the one that gets shot. And again, Dina's not there, but this is a cool time where you find out the mechanic of how to remove an arrow from your body when you get shot.
Gross.
Yeah. So there's like an action you have to do on the controller to like remove the arrow from you, which, you know, alludes that you're going to get shot in the future a bunch.
Yeah. Also, you don't, does this action also just like stop bleeding out?
Yeah. So it's like pull the arrow and then press to like kind of hit it and stop it from bleeding.
Cauterize.
Yeah, pretty much. But it happens to Ellie.
Weld your chest back together.
But yeah, this was, I don't mind this change because this is how we got Dina and Jesse out of the story now. They are going, assumably, back to home base, which is the theater. And Ellie is now going to be on her own for a little bit.
Right, they'll go meet up with Tommy, and then again, Ellie is now, it's a one-player game.
Yeah.
And she gets to Lake Hill, she finds Nora, holds her at gunpoint, interrogates her about Abby's whereabouts. Mm. Nora initially apologizes for the brutal way that Joel died. As we recall, Nora was the one holding Ellie down while it was happening.
Yeah.
And then after Nora was like, oh man, it was a bummer. And then she very quickly was like, but also he deserved it, you dick. At which point they get in a large sprawling fight of throughout the hospital. And Ellie is chasing her. The wolf soldiers are firing at her and still can't hit her for shit. These are trained soldiers, somehow can't hit a moving target. But eventually Nora escapes through an elevator shaft, which we know from the first episode, or not the first episode, the first scene, we know that this is the elevator shaft that the group went down and then they got, you know, locked in, and everything down there is cordyceps. So it's the bad place. But even Nora's like eyes of like, oh, I either get shot or get turned into a zombie. What is Sophie's choice? And then she goes down, as does Ellie, and they continue a chase. Although at some point, Nora just kind of like falls over because she's being turned into an infected zombie. But before that, we see the set design of this hospital basement of all the cordyceps on the wall and all of the, you know, Leon and pals who are just in some sort of perpetual tortured state of breathing in air and breathing out cordyceps, which is gross. But I mean, this was actually incredible. Like the set design that it was
amazing.
And then we saw in the after thing of it all that this was an actual set.
Yeah.
Which, that's unreal.
Yeah. They're doing an amazing job, like, building the world here. And, I mean, that's what I love about this adaptation so much, because you play through it and it's so detailed. And there, it just, you could miss so much if you don't just take a second to look around. And so I'm so happy that they
did. You just sounded like the end of a rom-com. If you don't take a second and look around,
you might just miss something.
Bueller.
Also lovely movie. But this whole fight scene, very cinematic, very climactic, scene was very one-to-one. This was so, like, almost shot for shot. It was really, really well done.
As previously mentioned, Ellie comes upon Nora, who is now on the ground and not looking great because she's infected, definitely. And she's like, look at what you did. You know, we came down into the mushroom basement and now we're both going to be zombies. Good plan, moron. But as we know, Ellie's going to be fine.
And yeah, she's fine.
Nora figures that out in real time as she's saying, oh, man. Yo, I guess, so you're the immune lady, right? That Joel killed everybody about. You know, Joel killed everybody in that hospital, by the way. Like, were you fully aware of that? At which point we get some new information, although not really. We sort of had this. We guessed this, but Ellie was just like, no, I know, actually.
And I love that she's just so cold with this line, like, I know. And Nora, you see her, like you said, live reaction is just like, oh, you're real, like, the and someone that's immune, you're real. And she's seeing it, but we know she's not gonna make it out of this one. You know, so I just love that little detail,
right? And she says some pretty matter-of-fact things, like, you're immune, you could have saved the world, or like, you know, we could have saved the world with you. In fact, Abby's father was like the one dude who would have been able to save the world. And Joel, with hate in his eyes, but love in his heart, shot him in the head mercilessly and saved you and killed everybody in that hospital that day. And so, and now I'm going to be a zombie. Like, what is this life? This all blows. Which point Ellie was like, yeah. Who gives a shit what you're saying? Where's, you know, that the lady whose name, Abby, God damn it. Where's Abby? And Nora,
we haven't seen her.
Like, I'm about to turn into a zombie. I don't have to tell you shit. And, and then Ellie's vibe is, but you can still feel pain now. And it starts hitting Nora in the legs with a metal pipe over and over again, which seems like it hurts. So.
Yeah. This was great. This was so good. I love this. And Bella Ramsey absolutely slayed this scene. Like, finally getting that more hard skinned Ellie that we've gotten in the game.
Nice.
But it's great. This was a great replica for sure.
You've done that enough times. I'm gonna let you off the hook.
All right, cool. Very good.
You're welcome, dude. So, yeah, she's hitting Nora over and over again. We now have the new information that Ellie knows exactly what Joel did, which means that the thing that we've been saying is definitely going to happen or had to happen. The flashbacks are now a-coming, which, thank God, it's honestly been too long. And that might mean that, or definitely is going to mean, that we are going to get Pedro Pascal's Joel back, which will instantly make the show better. And then... we then see a flashback of Ellie waking up in Jackson and being happily greeted by Joel. So obviously this is before Joel tells her the truth of it all and she becomes jaded and their relationship becomes strained. So hopefully next episode we get flashback time.
Now, without spoiling anything, do you know how the next episode is like setting up to be? Are you familiar with that part?
No.
Oh, dude. Okay. This, like you said, is going to be a flashback. So it's all pre what we're seeing now. And it is just masterful. This, oh God, if they nail this episode, it will redeem this whole season.
Totally redeem it. Okay. Bro, yeah, I'm excited.
In the game, this is a very emotional like scene with Ellie and Joel. And it really... informs like how bonded they really were, and I hope it's good. This is such a beautiful scene. I really, really love this scene. I've played this one multiple times over, and it hits so good. It hits so good.
Well, you have me excited.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And then after you watch the show, Ryan, watch the version of the game. You should do that.
Are you talking about one scene, or you're talking
just
about
the scene? Just the scene that this whole episode will likely be based off of.
where she finds out?
Well, not necessarily that. We don't know. I don't know yet. It depends on how much they stray the timeline, but...
The timeline. What a cool album by, assumably, some sort of very cool punk metal band, dude. Stray the timeline.
That's actually kind of sick.
It is pretty sick. Anyway, thanks for joining us. And you can listen to even more stuff that we make. There's a way specifically to do it. And Adam's about to describe in detail how to do so.
Yes, please listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, the HBO Boys, which you're listening to right now. But you can also find us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can get everything early, ad-free, albeit this week it's not that much earlier because I was traveling for work. But this one, you'll get a little bit earlier, ad-free, and some extra tidbits kind of thrown in, some Patreon exclusives. When we are able to do those, and you also get your name read at the end of every episode. So that's pretty cool too. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Damn, That Was Traumatizing, Let's Have Sex Now, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajama 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 tier patrons. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of you and what you give to our show here. This is pretty chill. Please also follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you can get on. I'm even still on Blue Sky. I did log in the other day. But I haven't used it that much. But we are on there, so you can follow us. interact with me, like, comment, subscribe, that will be fun. So what are you hoping for this episode coming up, Ryan? Are you hoping for something cool? Are you hoping for something sad? Are you hoping for something violent?
Not sad. I'm just hoping for some heavy, good Joel Ellie scenes.
Yeah, like, well, I think you're gonna get it
because that's what the best part of the show was.
Yeah,
and in this new, I'm also a little concerned that we're gonna get like dope Joel Ellie scenes again, and then it will go back to having no Joel, and I'll have to like once again reconcile with him that being Pedro Pascal not being here. Like, I just got over the fact that he's gone not so much the, I mean, so much the character wise, but more so like just the feeling of, boy, I wish Pedro Pascal was here. It'd be better. But yeah. I just got over that. And now he's going to be back. So I don't know. A little concerned, but at the same time, I don't know. Give me some good shit.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get the good shit, I think, in this episode. And then after this one, episode 7, the penultimate episode. So I'm even curious where they're going to go with this penultimate episode, and then wrap it around for episode 8, I believe, right? That's the finality of the season.
Yeah, man.
So we're coming near the end of this season. And then who knows when they're going to start season 3.
Yeah. Well, they don't need Pedro Pascal anymore, so it's going to be a lot easier. But what I'll say is, Adam did all that Patreon stuff. We recorded a big long thing. He tells a harrowing story of a Best Buy encounter. So $1 a month at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ to go listen to that. It's fun. There's a lot of backlog down there. So go over there and chill, and we'll see you next week for The Last of Us. Listen to episode 6 entitled, I don't know.
We don't know yet because they haven't released it.
Okay. Just one more time. Do it for me though.
The game.
Okay. Bye.
From automated assembly lines to smart factories, manufacturing is going digital and fast. If you want to stay relevant, you need the right tech skills. CBT Nuggets helps you get there with practical, easy-to-follow IT training. Build in-demand skills in networking, cybersecurity, and system automation without investing in costly hardware or struggling with complicated setups. Our short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs make learning simple and effective. Whether you're a technician on the floor, a manager leading teams, or an engineer optimizing systems, CBT Nuggets fits your schedule and meets you where you are. Train at your own pace, from any device, wherever it works for you. And with new content added regularly, there's always something relevant to learn. Join thousands of professionals who are leveling up their careers with CBT Nuggets. Right now, you can start a 7-day free trial and explore everything we offer, no commitment required. Go to cbtnuggets.com today. Because in modern manufacturing, better tech skills mean better opportunities.